Hey there, I'm Kevin Daisy.
And I'm Eric Olson.
You're listening to the Managing Partners Podcast, where we interview top lawyers about how they're growing their firms. Hey there, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the Managing Partners Podcast. I'm Kevin Daisy, and I'm your host. As I say before, I'm always looking for new, exciting guests to bring to the table here. It helps me learn, helps you all learn, and just always looking for very specific topics to cover. And today I have Etta coming on the show. She specializes in working with paralegals, and she's got a really cool story, and she owns a company that offers an awesome resource for law firms. So I'm excited for her to share what she knows and cover this topic and how your firm can benefit from what she has to say today. And of course, we'll also learn more about her company and how she can help if you need her help. So welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. I'm usually on the other side. I'm usually hosting my own podcast. So it's pretty cool and refreshing to be a guest and to kind of see what the guest seat looks like.
Well, hopefully I don't mess up too much. Tell us real quick, too, about your podcast so everyone listening can go tune in.
Yeah, so my podcast is called Let's Talk Paralegal, and it's for any legal professional, but obviously, hence the name, it's really for supporting legal staff members to kind of empower them, educate them, and provide them some practical tips to take with them back to the offices and back to the law firms and kind of really create this healthy, safe community for these non-lawyers that sometimes don't feel seen or heard, especially in a world filled with attorneys. So we just try to create that space for them. Obviously, we do have lawyers and everyone guest on the podcast because we like to have all different types of perspectives. But it's mostly for my people.
I love it. And that's what I do too. I try to mix it up and bring in the other experts and not just attorneys telling their story. So, at arosallc.com, you can go check a look at that right below if you're watching, of course, on video. But so, attorneys, you just said that, the world's not all about you. There's other people in the firm. So,
exactly.
So the focus of today's episode is really about those that are helping support your firm and support you growing your firm and to make sure you're assisting them and giving them a way to grow and get better at what they do, which is only going to help you, grow your firm. So let's first, Etta, tell us your story and how you got into running your firm helping paralegals.
Yeah, so I got the name the CEO Paralegal. My audience and my followers gave me that name, not a name I made up. It was one live that I did both on Instagram and LinkedIn, and everybody's like, "You're such a CEO." And I was like, "Oh, wow, I like that," So ever since then, I've been known as the CEO Paralegal, and here I am. But rewind, a couple years later, before this, I was just like any other paralegal, right? I was a litigating paralegal, hustling and bustling, attending trials and preparing attorneys and doing all the things, that a paralegal does. But I didn't start as a paralegal. I started actually as a billing clerk and worked my way up the ladder. Within a year, I was already litigating files. But I tend to not get bored. I get curious, is what I like to say. So I started dabbling into various types of practices, such as real estate, personal injury, family, criminal, business. And I just started using my transferable skills to really, go up the ladder. And I ended up in corporate law, which actually ultimately was my favorite type of law to practice as a paralegal because it's less litigating, more negotiating. And I'm definitely love that portion of it. And so that's where I ended my full-time, what I call W-2 paralegal career. I was a recent mom, and I wanted some more flexibility in my schedule, so I opened up what now is the Etta Enterprises, or as everybody knows it, Etta Rosa LLC. And so I went ahead and I opened up my own. I started doing paralegal services to get my clientele in the door and, what I call convert them later on. Because I always knew I wanted to do the consulting staff training portion of it because it's something that is missed, right? Usually as paralegals and even as attorneys, we all go receive our diplomas and receive our JDs and bachelors and whatever certificates we have under our belt where we have to do continuing education. But that's really just foundational. The buck stops there. The real practice comes in when you're a practicing attorney or a practicing legal professional. And that's really where, you know, you get the hard knock, right? That's, you learn the hard way, and there's a lot of mistakes made in order to learn basically how to run a business, run a caseload, and stay sane all at once. I always knew there was a huge gap between the legal education and the actual practicing of law in whatever capacity. So I want my business, that's what we do. We fill in that gap, and we do on-the-job training, and we upskill your legal professionals, especially if they're up for a promotion. You know, that's definitely a great way to utilize our services. Or if you just onboarded somebody and you just literally do not have the time to train them on your process, or if you don't have a process, we create one for you, or we enhance it, or whatever. So whatever you need in between, that's basically what Etta Rosa LLC does and continues to do for over 7 years now.
There's also another entrepreneur created out of this, and welcome. And I know you've been here for a while, but it's just a really cool story. And you know, I talk to attorneys pretty much all day, and there's lots of masterminds and groups and podcasts and learning events and conferences and all this stuff. Is I'm very exposed to that for attorneys.
Yeah.
And I've really not seen much. Maybe I just haven't investigated, but for all the other staff at the firm or the legal, you know, the paralegals, they need support. They need training. They need to be better. And if they can be more efficient at your firm, having a few go versus a massive team of them. So, you know, really putting some attention to that, and that's what you guys specialize in. So that's really cool.
Yeah, we do a lot of team building exercises when there's like lack of motivation, or, you know, like a few red flags, right? For those of you that are trying to wonder like where we fit in, is basically,
Red flags.
The red flags are, well, the number one that I always get when my clients come to me versus me trying to catch them is productivity. Their productivity has declined. Their highest producer has declined. That's a sure red flag that there's something wrong with the system, the dynamic, the environment. There's something missing in the process. So that is my number one red flag. But two other ones, turnaround, right? Your high turnaround rates when people are leaving, they're there for like a year and then they leave. You know, that's not really normal in the legal industry. Usually legal professionals like to stay at least for a couple years to get seasoned enough and to get the skills and everything else. And if they are leaving, it's because you're not providing that for them, right? So that's definitely another red flag that I always tell my clients to look out for. And my last one is lack of motivation, right? That's where our team building comes in. So let's say you're all set, everybody's great, the process is streamlined, you have a really core, you know, you invested in whatever, you know, whatever platform there is, and everything seems to be great, but yet there's no motivation. People are not moving the cases fast enough, and, you know, things like that. Well, that's where team building exercises come in. That means you need to take them out of their element, create a new dynamic. Sometimes routine gets really boring, and, you know, that unfortunately you can't instill motivation in people, but you can definitely ignite it. So
I love that. Yeah, I guess it depends on the firm too, is that person might be kind of siloed, or, you know, just they're not surrounded by others. Maybe you're not large enough to have them have a team, members to be working with. And so something like that, where you have this exercise, team building, they can talk to others, you know, to learn what they're doing and experiencing. I like that a lot. I think there's a group, I actually went to a conference tomorrow, for legal administrators. So these are the office managers, or the folks running the firm for the most part. And there's a group. And support for them is more of a group thing, but they get together. They're kind of on their own at the firms that they run, and they have to listen to all the attorneys and everything like that. So it's really cool because there's a group where they can get together. And be, yeah. So, and that's the, I think it's Association of Legal Administrators, but it's just it's a group, right? They don't provide any of the stuff that you're talking about. But it's
I mean, support groups are great, right? And they're great to vent. I always say they're amazing therapists, you know, for free, that you don't have to pay like $100 and something a hour for. But, you know, we're all about solutions, right? Like, we can talk about problems all day. And I had a wonderful manager that till this day we stay in communication, because he made such a big impact in my career, but also in my personal life, because I was able to implement that. And we need more managers like that. And so he would always say, when we got into the room, be ready. pen and paper, like, I need you to be ready, always be ready, right? Like, he wouldn't call us into a meeting or anything unless we were ready. So two things he taught me was always be ready and prepared. And the second one is come with me with solutions. It's okay that you want to vent and give me problems, but how can we solve them? And so those two things I've taken on with me. And if it wasn't really for him, and I was going through a rough patch in my career during that time too, so it came at, like, you know, timing is everything, where I was able to receive that information a lot differently versus others around me. And ever since he did that, I became a supervisor. I was supervising 30 people because I was able to really take on those two things and make it my own, right? So he gave me, he ignited that motivation. And I was like, man, if there was only more people like this, right, that could do that to more people. Because what happens is your support staff are the ones that are really cultivating the culture and the environment, right? They're the ones that are transcenders. They're the ones that the client is most likely going to speak to 90% of the time. So if they're not at their best, regardless, they're obviously there's going to be days that they're not going to be. We're human. We're not robots. But consistently at their best, right, then that's a problem. That's a business problem. That's a productivity problem. That's a bankruptcy problem, because if they're not making money moving the cases, you're not going to get any money. You're not going to get those good reviews and those references and referrals and all the good stuff that you want. So yeah, start investing in your staff. They're not your children, right? So yes, you can give them a paycheck, but sometimes that's not enough. Sometimes you have to provide them with the correct tools and on-demand training and, you know, team building and all that stuff. Because if you're required to provide certifications, like let's say it's a requirement for your firm that they be certified by NALA or any other, you know, legal professional certification or even the local bar, well, what are you doing to finance that? You know, that costs money. That's not free. You didn't invest in that education in the first place, but yet you're requiring it. So you got to kind of see the coin, you know, from both sides, right? Maybe not like have to pay for them, but provide them with extra days so that they can go to conferences and attend conferences to create those, you know, to get those CLEs. Or give them some time, right? Hey, instead of a 1-hour lunch break today, I'll give you a 2-hour lunch break paid so that you can go and attend this, you know, lunch hour CLE. You know, little things like that. Or bring the CLEs to them, right? Get an on-demand CLE, a company like My Law CLE is great. NALA provides them as well. All these companies that are out there that you can have that moment, right? And it's not that costly. So, you know, understanding that your requirements come with a cost as well. Understanding that if you don't have a streamlined process, there can definitely be inefficiencies within that process that you don't know about because you're up here. You're not really working day in and day out. You're focused on strategizing these cases, bringing in more clients, marketing the firm, which is where Kevin comes in and his company. You know, all these things that come with running a business, you're focused on the entrepreneur lawyer side while your staff is here trying to create that dream for you, right? Make that dream a reality. So what are you doing for them, right? When you're so focused up here, what are you providing for them as well? What are those benefits outside of health benefits and all the other things that come with just being an employer, right?
Yeah,
more than
the
just
basics.
Your employers. Yeah.
No, I love it. And you're spot on. I think, you know, our staff, my staff, or a law firm, if you're watching your staff, that's your brand, your culture, your marketing, the client experience, like all that is happening through everyone in your company, right? You're not just the only person that's, you know, representing your brand and your firm. And so if that's not going well, it also affects your, again, your culture and new employees you hire. Imagine you hire a new employee and then they meet this one person in your team that's just not motivated. They don't want to be there. They're not organized. They take that person that you just hired down real quick, right?
Yeah.
Or that person might not want to work there after they met some of the staff. So it's very important to have stuff in place for this. And it sounds like to me what you're saying that is like a lot of this is process. Like, what's the process for paying for certifications? Or do you have an allotted budget per person? What does that look like? And that should be well defined. And as you're hiring, that can be very clearly stated that, hey, we offer this here. We want you to succeed. We want to know what your goals are. You know, is this a position you want to stay in, or are you aspiring to do more? You need to figure all those things out for every single person.
Especially if it's a paralegal that's looking into law school. That's definitely something you want to know. I mean, how many attorneys are looking for associates, right? Or law clerks or whatever it is because they're trying to fill up their caseload. Well, if you already have someone within the law firm that you know that their work ethics is, you know, they're responsible, they're productive, they're all the things, and they're looking into going into law school later on, I mean, those are things that benefit you at the end of the day. You know, you can promote them later on. They can become an associate. And it's not a double-edged sword. It's just two sides of the coin. So now this person's like, oh, wow, they really care that I want to go to law school. I may have a possible opportunity within this firm. So yeah, this is a firm I want to stay with long term. So you don't have to worry about it, right? Because we all know that the average cost of an employee is anywhere from $10,000 to $11,000. And that's just being conservative, right? It usually costs 6 months of employment benefit and income to replace one employee. So at the end of the day, if you look at the numbers, they're not going to add up. You know, it might as well just invest in who you have now, make sure they're worth the investment, of course, but invest in who you have now so that later on it can benefit you as well, right? I mean, it's business, yeah, we would think business 101, but it really isn't. We don't really think about it that way, you know?
No, it's not. There's, you know, I know lots of businesses that they don't have those things in place, the majority. I want to say a lot of guests I've had on here, I think they have that figured out, but that's why they're a guest on my show, because they figured it out. But but for, you know, there's firms that, small firms, ones that just started, ones that maybe are a few in the business, they probably haven't done this because they haven't had to, and they're still figuring things out. But even if you're starting out or just been a few years in business, start doing what you can, right? You know, when you hire your first employee, you might not have full benefits, right? You people. Those are things you have to work through. But some of this stuff you can start to put in place. You know, we want to make sure that you are going where you want to go and you learn what you need to excel here. And that way they want to follow your vision and your mission of your firm.
Absolutely.
So, and then for us, we have, you know, I don't have paralegals and CLEs and stuff like that, but we, you know, have a team of marketing people. Right. And we have like 42, I think, full-time at this point. So we have $1,000 per month, or $1,000 per year education budget.
Oh, nice.
They can buy books, conferences, whatever, out of $1,000 a year that they can use for whatever. And then if we have someone that's like, I need a certification, you know, we've paid for that in the past, or during, those are kind of more case by case. But we at least have a base plan. This is what you're going to get. You know, we have one-on-one conversations with our whole staff every week with their managers to see how things are going. We said we wanted to be here next year. Where are you? You know, are we moving in the right direction?
Yeah.
Do you feel like we're providing you what you need to get there?
Absolutely. And you have to practice what you preach, right? Because even though I don't have full-time employees with benefits, I embrace the entrepreneurship culture of my business because that's really what I want to promote, that you can be an entrepreneur and, you know, do your own schedule and everything else. So I implement that in my own business. And all my contractors, I pay for their training. So whatever they need in order to be the best assistant, marketing person, podcast manager, whatever position I have, I will pay for that training. It's a risk, of course, because they're contractors, but it keeps them with me, right? Like, I've had my podcast manager for over 3 years now. I've never had an issue because of that. He valued that even though he was a contractor, I still treated him like an employee, right? So it's not necessarily just employee, you know, employer. It's whomever's providing a service to you, right? I treat my clients just like I would treat anyone else, you know, within my circle. Like, I know their birthdays. Like, we have a very intense intake process. I know their birthdays. I know what they like. I know their favorite restaurants, their color, everything, because come time for their birthdays or their Christmas or whatever, we send them a little thank you for continuing their business with us. It's just customer service, right? It's something that Even though they're not continuing with us, because sometimes it's a very short-term contract, we're still here for them. We still provide new services and new products. And they're like, oh my goodness, I remember when Etta Rosa was, you know, at our law firm and she did this. Maybe we can have them come back for this employee. Whatever it is, right? But we do it genuinely because we want to continue that relationship, right? So you have to practice what you preach as well. And I believe that our clients get that benefit regardless if it's a short-term or long-term. They both get the same service. And that right there is like the epiphany of customer service.
No, I love that a lot. Hey there, this is Kevin Daisy, your host and founder of Array Digital. If you're tired of wasting money with agencies that just can't get it done, then please check out my law firm, digital marketing agency, at arraydigital.com. If you contact us there, you'll be sure to line up a meeting with me where we'll walk through your exact situation and come up with a plan for what you can do to improve your marketing results. I look forward to talking to you. Now back to the show. You know, the whole experience, you know, customer or client, whatever it may be for you, but mapping that out and having a plan and a process. It shouldn't just be, you know, ad hoc or whatever we plan to do that day. It should all be thought about and always be improved. You can improve it all the time. But also, too, I think if you have contractors or vendors, you should be wanting them to be doing well. Like, they should be financially well off and doing well themselves. If they provide a service to you, you know, how's your vendor doing? How's your partner doing? Because if they're shaky and they're not running well, then that's a risk to you as well. So, you know, I think we have some clients that care about how we do and how we're doing. Not always the case, but I think that's important to, you know, to have those kind of relationships with someone that's providing a direct service that benefits your firm or could be a risk if it's not taken care of.
Absolutely. And, you know, sometimes, you know, the number one bar complaint we all know is lack of communication, right? And that's nationwide. That's not just state specific. So, you know, understanding that your support staff is your client experience and your client communication, and that is legitimately has been consistently for decades the number one bar complaint, why you would get a complaint to the bar. So understanding that reality and really looking at it like, oh, wow, I should really focus in on this. Like, this is really something I should be thinking about and really running those wheels and trying to kind of take a step back and be like, well, if I was an employee, if I was working for myself, you know, how would my day look like? How would my career look like? What are my benefits? Are these realistic benefits? Like, sometimes it goes down to pay, too. A lot of people just can't afford to stay with you because you're at a lower income rate. And unfortunately, the cost of living keeps going up. And if their income is not with that, then, you know, they need to live, right? They got bills to pay. So sometimes you could do all the right things, but ultimately it is going to be a financial decision for them. But those are conversations you need to have ahead of time with them. Are you planning on having a family? Are you planning on moving? What is your lifestyle? What's your ideal? You know, those questions that are personal, but not so personal, because they're really like, I need to know, like, I need to see where, you know, this relationship's going to go. Because at the end of the day, the same way you want your clients to come in and feel welcomed and feel appreciated, well, I mean, you should have that same mindset with your employees.
100%. I love it. So I guess, you know, speak a little bit towards, you know, staffing and what that kind of is for like a law firm. And, you know, I assume a lot of firms are, maybe they don't do that. They've never tried it. Maybe they've never seen if there's another resource to find some of the staff, especially if they get a lot of cases or they have a, you know, a massive influx. But kind of maybe like go kind of over what that process was like, and then maybe we'll just touch on some training.
Staffing is important. You just have to know what type of staff you need, right? So if it's just an influx, it's not normal for your company, I suggest you do not hire a full-time person. You know, whether it be part-time or contract, freelance, whatever it is, maybe you need to do that or attempt to hire, but don't make it to the point where you're establishing that long-term relationship with someone that you yourself do not know it's going to be long-term. Like, don't be setting expectations that are unrealistic at this point. So don't set yourself up for failure. And then I understand that sometimes part-time and temp mindset is a little different, right? Because then they may not perform as much, but being real with them, right? Setting those expectations. Again, it's all about setting the expectations up front. Hey, listen, we have a huge influx of cases right now. We're changing, you know, we're adding this department, but it's not something that we always do. Really setting that picture and having that communication, you'll find the right person. Because maybe somebody's just trying to find a part-time position because they're a mom or a dad or a parent and they want to be home with their kids but yet still bring in money because daycare is expensive. So maybe you'll find that person that maybe doesn't want that long-term but maybe later on does because the children are now in school. So, you know, there's a lot of conversations that can be had during the interview process that can alleviate the turnover, the quitting, or the quiet quitting, or whatever, you know, all these beautiful terms that we have now. But understanding the reality, right? We're all human. Let's just talk about it. Let's talk it through. Let's be just real and have those true professional and polite and prompt conversations, you know, the three P's, and understand and establish that from the get-go, right? Like, why are we not doing that? Why are we not saying, hey, listen, I really want to be an attorney eventually. I already started looking at law schools and, you know, this is something, this is my next step. Or in the turn is like, well, we only really need a part-time person because fill in the blank. Or maybe somebody's on FMLA, right? And they just need you for 3 months. Look, there's different employees and different formats for different needs. So really take a huge detailed look as to really what that need is and why you're hiring. What are you really hiring for? Do you really need to hire from the outside? Have you even entertained people within your firm? Why can't you just upskill that amazing receptionist that's great with your clients? That's great potential for a legal assistant. It's not a huge step. Okay, well, you have a legal assistant, but you need a paralegal, but this legal assistant has been with you for years, already knows the system, already knows, you know, the clients and everything else. Well, what's holding you back from promoting them to being a paralegal and just onboarding another legal assistant? So really understand your dynamics, right? Understand your people, get to know them, get to know your bottlenecks, get to know your business as a business versus as just filling in the blank.
I love that. And that's a good lesson there because I know we've done this in the past, not so much anymore, but like we'll have, you know, we have teams, right? And so obviously someone that runs that team's like, I just need another person. We're busy. In the past, we've been like, oh, they need another person. We got to hire them. And so first is like, okay, well, why? Like, let's look through this and maybe there's something we need to do or maybe someone can do more work or, but you know, employees will come to you and be like, hey, we just need another person because we're busy. Okay. Well, I need more than that. We need to really look into this and see what is it that we need. Do we need another full time of this person or do we just need like a low, you know, entry level that we can train?
Right.
And there's just lots of different dynamics like you're saying, but I think understanding why you need it, do you even need it? Looking within, always want to promote within if you can.
Right.
And I
think that promoting within right there is a game changer because then that sets the standard. Right. And that sets the culture that you want. Right. Because if you want to keep them long term, well, you got to give them a road long term. You know, you got to give them a long term road, because if not, then they're going to just think that they're short term there. They're going to have a short term mindset. They're going to have a short term productivity level. They're going to. So you got to give them something. You got to give them hope. You know, you got to give them signs.
Yeah. And if you're not having these conversations, like imagine and. You know, this has happened here where we have to bring in someone above someone because we're just at that new level that we've never been to before. And so we have to bring some, but if you don't go to that person and say, hey, knowing where they want to go and you know that they want to be in that position that you're about to hire, like you have to have that conversation or you're going to lose that person. And now you're going to have, you know, a gap there. And so you go to that person and say, hey, you know, I know you want to be here, but you know, we know you're not there yet. We want to get you there.
Like
but we
that.
Have to bring in someone that's got this expertise now. So you have to be able to have this conversation. If you surprise them with a new hire that now manages them or whatever, or is more
experienced. Oh, and then on top of that, the worst part is you're having to train them. I've had that happen at a law firm where I worked. One of my supervisors was leaving. And all of us wanted this one person to grab that position because we just loved her and the way she was. And she was just great with us. She was a great team leader. But unfortunately, the law firm went somewhere else and chose somebody else. And we were all so upset for her, right? And so on top of that, not only did they hire somebody new, but they had her train them. And it's like, oh my goodness, that's like setting up yourself for failure, you know? Like, what are you doing?
Terrible. Yeah, so, you lose the whole team. You could lose the whole team right there.
Absolutely. By not having those conversations, and you just have to be crystal clear, right? You have to say, hey guys, we're going into a new system because the old system was not working. It wasn't providing our productivity. I understand that you may have some hesitations. Don't worry. We're going to provide you with training on the new system. We're going to provide you with training on the processing and everything else. You have to be that person. You have to be that leader. You can't just be making changes and not like having a powwow with your staff, you know, whether it's a virtual one, because I know now we're going through like the hybrid models and things like that, which is great. I'm all for it. I run my business fully virtual as well. So I get it. I understand the dynamic, but you still need to cultivate that culture. I'm sorry. It doesn't matter if you're a hybrid, if you're fully remote and virtual, or if you're still what we call the traditional route in person, you know, brick and mortar. But understanding that whichever, you know, platform you're on, you have to make it happen. You have to have those conversations with your staff, and you have to be as transparent as possible without providing, you know, CEO or C-suite level numbers. They don't need to know about all that unless, you know, they're part of it. Then, of course, you have to have those conversations with the people that it's relevant for. But have a staff meeting, you know? Let them know why the changes, why we're doing this, and really have that conversation with them. Because if not, they're going to get scared and they're going to run away.
Well, plus, if you don't have this conversation, you don't know what they know sometimes. Like, they might go, hey, the firm I came from, I ran that same system.
Yeah.
Like, but you didn't ask. And now we're, and so you might have had a resource already. And so, yeah, you just have to be very open, transparent, like you're saying. I know we do a monthly company meeting. All the numbers, revenues, client count, clients we lost, clients we gained, very, you know, open here. But they can see how we're doing.
Right.
Like if we're not doing good, they should know well in advance. If we're doing really, really good, they should know well in advance. And so, you know, being as transparent as you can be, that's one of our core values is transparency. So you want a culture like that. You want people to come bring stuff to you, offer solutions, like you said, come prepared, be ready, and wanting to grow. I don't want a staff full of people that just want to stay stagnant and not learn anything. They won't stay here.
Exactly.
So, and then we will hire people that are just like that, and we don't want that. So we only hire the best of the best. So I love it. So as far as a firm that's listening, that's like, maybe they don't even know, like they're overwhelmed, their staff's overwhelmed, maybe their culture's not great, maybe they haven't really figured that part out. And that's probably one of the most difficult things to figure out. But do you offer like consultations, or like maybe they don't even know what to do? And are you able to like take a look at their business and say, hey, you need part-time, you need full-time, you need just contractor or attempt to hire? Is that something that you offer?
Yes, absolutely. Anything that has to do with your staff, right? We do anything from process creation to intake to client experience, but the only thing we don't do, I guess that would be the easier answer, is we don't help you. I mean, we help you staff, like we'll sit with the interviews and we'll do that, but we don't find people for you. For us, it's just too much of a liability because we don't know too much about your culture quite yet. We would have to be with you long-term in order to actually properly onboard somebody, but we do have a lot of resources that we can provide you, and you know, and say, hey, we personally can't do it, but we have a great company that's able to staff you and fill your needs. So we partnered up with Wise Hire, and they're the ones more of like the full-time, if you're looking for like a full-time steady benefits, all, you know, they're really great. Then I have another company that we do for freelancing, so if they're looking just for like a contract work, a very reliable contract work company that I've worked with for many years and I refer to myself. So that's how much trust I have in the company. And then we have those like temp to hire, right? So we have all three levels and we just refer you out so you can find that candidate that's best for you. And then if you need us to sit in, if you need us to provide you with like a roadmap as far as like, what is going to be my intake? What does my description need to look like? All those little details we help you with. We just don't physically say, okay, hire this person. You know, like we just, you know, we're not that people. We're not a staffing company. That's for sure.
Okay. Well, let me make that clear. My wife actually works for a staffing company in the IT space. I believe her company has the legal part of their company. So,
okay.
But yeah, there are staffing companies out there. You know, you can find the staff, but really what you do is help make sure that they're trained, that they're getting the support they need, which is way more important just in hiring the one time. And you throw them in,
right. And
you
don't have a process. Onboarding system seamless, right? Because we sometimes miss the mark, especially in the interview process. I believe that is like the probably the most, if not the important, pivotal moment when it comes to adding people to your dream board. And so having those open, transparent expectation conversations need to happen then, you know, that's really where it needs to happen. And then providing that roadmap, hey, listen, if you do get hired, this is kind of what it's going to look like. This is the name of your supervisor. This is the department. This is the dynamic. So that when they start, they're not surprised and they're like, oh, wow, this is really not what I signed up for. And then you go through the process again. So
you don't want
having
that.
Those true conversations, real conversations, setting those expectations on both ends. This is a two-way conversation, right? I'm not just talking about the lawyer with the legal support staff member. I'm talking about the legal support staff member being open and honest as well. Hey, listen, this is just a one-stop shop for me. I have other dreams. I want to go, you know, to New York and be in the fashion industry or whatever it is. You know, understanding that those expectations need to be from the front, you know, like you just need to have that, because that way the attorney or the hiring manager, whomever is doing the, you know, the onboarding, really knows if that's a candidate for them or not. And sometimes the people that are looking for jobs, they're like, I can't find a job. Like, this is the most constant thing, right? I can't find a job. Well, what are you doing to find a job, right? Are you just going into websites and uploading a resume and then just hoping and praying that somebody's going to find your resume one day? Or are you actually, like, researching, right? And actually doing your homework and actually trying to contact the law firm and be like, hey, listen, I saw your job posting on LinkedIn or, you know, Indeed or wherever, WiseHire. And I really was interested because of this, this, and this. These are my aspirations. This is what I'm really looking for. Send an email. Be personable. Make yourself known. Be that annoying person, you know, like, oh my God, not this person again. Might as well just call them in at this point. You know, like,
that's
really
the kind of people I hire.
Yeah, exactly. And same for the lawyers. What are you really doing? Are you letting the algorithm just pick something for you or someone for you? Or are you really going in there and looking at their LinkedIn profiles and looking at their, you know, cover letters, right? Like, cover letters, everybody's like, it's so overrated. No, it's probably more important than the resume. The resume just gives you an outline of where they've been. You want to know where they want to go. You know,
yeah, so really,
understanding that dynamic, right? Really looking at your candidates in a different form and just opening your eyes and your mind really is what about to a different life, you know, to a different world. Because if you want to scale, if you want your productivity, if you want a certain number in your bank account, you're never going to get there if you're not investing in what you already have and what you want.
I love it. Love it. Love it. Love it. Everyone out there, that's a good, strong message for you today. And for me, like most of the people we hire, they listen to the podcast. They know our background history. And they're invested and they want the job here. Like, and that's the people we hire.
I get paralegals all the time to say, can I just work for you? Like, I work for free. And I was like, no, this is not how my company works. You know, we don't really just hire paralegals. Like, I, you know, we're not a staffing firm or anything like that. But I think it's very sweet. And it's a testament, right, to our branding and to our marketing. Obviously, it's working. It's hitting home. It's resonating with paralegals that want to do what I do. And I think that's just an honor to be that, you know, leader for them. But unfortunately, we're just not quite there yet where we could just start, you know, hiring paralegals and having them do what I do.
yeah, but for sure. But when hiring, you know, it's, they should have done some research into your law firm, right? They should be familiar with what you do. They should want to be there if it's, you know, if it's a full-time long-term position.
Absolutely.
But I love what you said about asking them in the process, like, where do you want to be? Because we usually just focus on the job. Can you do this job? Yes or no? Okay, good. We were hiring a part-time position a year ago, and we had this one lady that was awesome. She was just, we were just like, wow, she's perfect. But through talking to her, she was like, I'm part-time and I'll never go full-time. And we were like, oh, wait a minute. We know this is not going to be part-time for long. And so the one younger girl that had less experience was like all in, excited, and was like, you know, we're like, hey, can you go full-time? And she's like, absolutely, I'm ready to go. So, you know, we couldn't hire the other person because we knew now it's full-time, plus she's getting assistance and help because it's growing too fast. So
that's a good problem to have.
Yeah, you have to have that conversation, though, because we hired the one lady who we loved. She would be like, I'm not going full-time, and we'd be stuck.
Yes.
With the situation, right?
Yeah. So, yeah, definitely having those conversations makes you have better business decisions and make them, right? Having those conversations helps you with the next step, right? Because you're only, hopefully, going to continue to grow, right? And continue to scale. And you can't do that without having conversations with your staff. And even if it's one-on-one, right? Because some of us are not that open when we are around people. But, like, yeah. Bring them in. Take them out to lunch one day and have those conversations. How are you doing? How's everything? Oh, well, I'm trying to get pregnant. Okay, well, that's something you need to plan for, right? Okay, if they're trying to get pregnant, you need to know, you need to cross-train, which is another thing that they don't do in law firms for some reason. I have no idea why, but you should be doing cross-training. Everybody should know how to do everything in your law firm, regardless of what position they're in, because God forbid that person just walks out one day, you're screwed. And we're finding my friend.
And the smaller you are, the more, you know, more risk you have.
Yes.
If you have three people, one person's gone, and absolutely. You're all scrambling and yeah, so you know, growing your business helps build redundancy and train your staff and good culture, and you know, so growth should always be part of this. But you don't want to grow or scale with a bad culture or a staff that doesn't want to be there. So
absolutely. Yeah. And you know, like the Morgan & Morgans of the world, I've been to their offices and I've worked with, I've co-worked with paralegals there. So I see their environment and I see why they're so successful. They have a strong process. Their training is 90 days. So like understanding, looking at these, you know, high, you know, Rubensteins of the world and Morgan & Morgans and all these, you know, famous, what we call Rockefeller law firms, they have it. You know, that's why they're successful. They have a strong process, strong automations. They have an intense training. And so, you know, I was lucky enough to be part of that, even if it was for a short-term trial. But understanding that and seeing that is, it's a testament, right? It's a testament to no matter how big or small you are, if you want to be a Morgan & Morgan, or even if you just want to grow, you have to, you know, have that consistency. You have to have that efficiency.
I love it. Well, Etta, thanks so much for sharing so much about this and the staff.
Of course.
It's you know, not something we've touched on quite this, you know, specifically. So, yeah, make sure your staff are getting trained. Make sure they want to be there. Have the conversations with them. Reach out to Etta for help if, you know, you have questions. Like, hey, I got a problem with my staff, or I'm not sure. I'm sure she can point you in the right direction, and maybe you can use her services. But EttaRosaLLC.com. That's EDAROSALLC.com for anyone listening on audio. So check her out. And what's the better way they can connect with you? LinkedIn, or is there
yes,
a good place?
We live on LinkedIn. So if you want to get it on there, it's Etta Rosa, just me personally. It's literally me, guys. My marketing assistant doesn't really handle the communication. So if you want to send a message, feel free to do so. And yeah, we live there. So we love LinkedIn. LinkedIn has done wonders for us. So shout out to LinkedIn, not sponsored, but just saying.
No, same here. I love LinkedIn. You can always find me there. You might be watching this on LinkedIn right now. So
yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So, all right, Etta, well, I appreciate it. Thank you so much for sharing today. And everyone watching, get out there, work on your firms, and good luck out there. So Etta, stay back on with me, and we'll say bye to everyone else.
Bye.
Have a great day.
Thank you for listening. We have been producing this podcast for years, have had hundreds of guests, and produced hundreds of episodes. We don't ask for much, but I do have one ask. If you find value in this podcast, please share it with one person just like you. The best way to do that is to send them to ArrayDigital.com, where we have a full library of all the episodes that they can sort by practice area and or state. So again, we appreciate you listening, and thanks for sharing.